Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
I'm here today because of Jesus, and so I appreciate all, everything that was said, but folks, I would love you to join with me in giving such a great shout out to my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rescuer of my life. Yes, give Him praise, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hey, what a great crowd of people in the 11:30 service. Front to the back wall, side to side. What an incredible baby dedication. Talk about the old man and that generation. Oh, it's just amazing to be in church to witness all of those families wanting to have their kids dedicated to the Lord. So, hey, God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Russell, for the opportunity of sharing this morning. Thank you for the way you have honoured me, not just this morning, but the whole time that Chris and I have been in Planet Shakers. You have been so good to me, and I just so love and appreciate being part of Planet Shakers and love everything that God does in this great house. Yes, 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 just an awesome place. Wherever you go, you come across people whose lives have been transformed in this great church, and long may it continue. What would it be like if we kept on doing this for another decade, and another decade, and another decade, and another decade? Like if we were to do it for another 70 years, how good would it be? So we're not just here just to get your kids dedicated. We're here to see them grow up, to become men and women of God, to see them serve God in this house. That's what we're on about. Amen? Anyway, so good to be with you. And incredible that I get to preach. And it'd be just real handy if I could. But we'll just work on that and see what God does. I tell you what, I have been so blessed in my ministry life. I just cannot believe how good God has been to me. Somehow or other, when I was 22, I got it in my head that I should go to Darwin and start a church. And I just thank God for people like were around in those days that just stamped me on the back and said, go for it. I don't know that they would do that today. They'd want a program and they'd want this and they'd want that, and they'd lose me before sunup in regard to all that they'd want. But back in those days, we just got in the old FC Holden, Chris and I, very pregnant Christine, and off we went to Darwin. And what an amazing time we had. Like, my sermons weren't all that good, but God was good, and whole lots of people got saved. It was just amazing what God did in that place. And some of the people that got saved in those times are still serving God different places around the world and in our nation. And so, isn't God good? And then we ended up in Wodonga, and that was good. Stayed there for 31 and a half years, and I just could not believe what some of the things that God did. We had 60 Minutes turn up and did a whole program on our church. They thought our church was pretty awesome, and so they rolled in all their TV cameras and all that kind of stuff, and talked about some of the lives that had been transformed in the early days of being in Wodonga. So that was a good thing. And then the North Albury Footy Club. Have you ever heard of the North Albury Footy Club? Now, where have you lived your poor lives? And so part of the Ovens and Murray, just as we got moving in the 80s in Albury Wodonga, there was just such a massive move of God, so many people getting saved, and amongst them was a whole heap of footballers, including the coach of the North Albury Footy Club. And they weren't doing all that well at the time, and racked by whole lots of abhorrent behaviour, really. And the coach walked back in after he had such an amazing encounter with God where his life was just dramatically transformed, and all of his family. Like, I think from his family and the relatives and all that kind of stuff, there was about 70 people that got saved within about 2 or 3 months, and the transformation in people was just amazing. So he went back to the footy club and he said, okay, all the drinks gone, all the swearing's gone, and this is what's going to happen this year. We're going to win the premiership. And so he got onto the front page of the paper day after day because he was so outrageously committed to Jesus and being born again. And they won the premiership by 4 points. Like, how good's that? Good old Marty Cross. They've made him a legend of the Murray. Have you heard of Marty Cross down here? Come on. They've made him a living legend in the Ovens and Murray. Played for Carlton, but I mean, anyone can play for Carlton. It's just anyone can get a game with them. Anyway, I've got to get to it. I just really want to talk to someone. I just need to say to this morning that any blessing that I have been down through my ministry years, any good that's ever happened is because God has gifted me with such incredible team members. And it would be remiss of me if I didn't stand here today and just give thanks to God for all of those awesome people that he put into my life. And we've been able to do a great journey together and see so many lives transformed. And so thank God for all of those team players. Like, all of us are better because of who we do life with. All of us are better because we're who we're in church with. All of us are better because of our urban life meetings, because of who we get to serve with. All of us are better. Never about me. It's all about the people that we get to do life with. And here at Planet Shakers, like, how good has it been? I did not know. I didn't tell everyone this. Take your seats. I didn't know what I was doing when I came to Yarra Plenty Church. I didn't want to go there to start off with, but my wife and Andrew Evans talked me into going there. And I was there under duress. And I was there for six months. And don't tell anyone from the old days at Yarra Plenty, but my first meeting in that place was the worst meeting I've ever been in. It was just dreadful. You could feel the hurt and the grief and the disappointment. And I said to Christine before they handed over to me, 25 Sundays more and I'm back in Cairns. Get me out of here. But I tell you, God intervened in this stubborn heart, and walking up the steps, God just changed the whole thing altogether, spoke a word in my heart, and in due time, God came through and we became Planet Shakers. Like, how good has that been for Northeast Campus? How good has that been for that house? It has been an amazing transformation. Everything that the forefathers of that place wanted to see come to pass has come to pass in Planet Shakers. I was out at WOW this week. That's the old folks at NEC. And somehow or other, I've got to be in charge of that program. I am there to adjust attitudes. And all of those folks, they're still there. Even though the music's loud and whatever else, and some of the old geezers, you see them in church in the back section on church on Sunday, and they've got tissues hanging out their ears where they're like they haven't had the decency just to break off the end so they could at least look like they're enjoying the music. No, they got these tissues hanging out their ears, and they are there because of what God has done in their church, where they've seen hundreds of people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. It's just been amazing, folks. Wonderful. Now I'm 70 and been, I think it's over 51 years, because I was running youth groups and kids and all that kind of stuff long before I went to Bible college. But here's the deal. There's just someone I just need to address this morning. And I just want to make it very, very clear that he understands exactly what I want to say. And I don't talk to this person very, very often. And most times I try to ignore him because he's an absolute liar. He's never ever spoken a truthful word about me ever in my whole life. And everything that he has done has been tried to supplant and deceive and pull down. But I just want to stand here today in Planet Shakers and address him and let him know exactly how I feel today after 50 years in ministry serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, just before I get to him, I just need to tell you that I carry no grief in my heart. I carry no scar. I have no resentment. I have no disappointment. I am just so alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can never ever understand why some Christians want to grizzle about how tough their Christian life has been. Like it's been a joy serving Jesus. Yes, he took a nobody and gave me an opportunity to be a somebody in the house of God. So I'm just shouting the praises. If you ever go on to get a whinge out of me, it's never going to happen. I hate negative people. I despise them. And I just want them to wake up to the reality of what we've got in Jesus. Get up and let's go for it with a bit of joy in our hearts. Somebody in the first service came to me after the service and said, I thought you were going to have a heart attack up there. Well, this is the only way I know how to do it. I don't know any other way. I just can't stand up here and just give you 3 points in a poem. I just can't do that. I just got to rage and rant against everything and hit every head and believe that God will do something good. Anyway, let me talk to that person. And I just don't know where to look because I just don't want anyone to feel like I'm looking at you when I talk to this person. I just want it to be that he just knows exactly how I feel today. And so devil, yeah, the devil. We don't need to talk to him too often, but every now and again, we just need to straighten up a little bit and just announce how it is that it is in our lives. And so I want to say, devil, I'm still here. Yes! Yes! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Does anyone else want to give it a shout and say, devil, I'm still here? My death days are right now. Oh! And devil, I'll see you in 10 years' time. Come on, come on. I thank God with all the saints of God that we have our weapons to overcome. I thank God that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. I thank God that he has given me the shield of faith whereby I can quench every attack of the enemy over my life. I laugh at him today in Jesus' name. I laugh at his schemes and strategies, and I believe that God in me is greater than every scheme that he ever brings against me or the church. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, anyone want to give a shout to Jesus? Oh, that was a bit weak. Come on, let's just give a shout of praise. Shout of praise. Shout of praise. Yes, yes, yes. One of the great legends of the church, Smith Wigglesworth, woke up one night in a motel room and sensed that there was someone in the room. And he turned over and saw the devil. And he said, oh, it's you, is it? And rolled over and went back to sleep. I like the man's attitude. I like the man's attitude, because that's who we are in Christ. How dare we ever have a spirit of fear upon us? Because in Jesus Christ, he has totally destroyed every weapon formed against you, and we just need to be shouting the praises, so excited about the freedom that we have in Christ, so excited about everything that God's doing in our life. Praise God. Now, I do need to say this as well, because I just want to be very, very clear where I stand at 70 years of age. Someone suggested to me just a little while ago that I should sit back and take it easy and retire. I want to tell you, that went down not well. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I thank God for everyone that's got saved as a result of our ministry in every church that we've been a part of. But folks, there are just thousands upon thousands of broken, lost people that need to hear about Jesus. And I just cannot take it easy. I just cannot lay down. I cannot be in a situation where I can have influence and I can talk up and I can speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. While ever I have breath in me, I'm going to serve my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While ever there is strength in this old body, I'm all for Jesus. And will take every opportunity I can to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to inspire young people like so many in this room today to get up and let's go with a great heart to have an influence in the house of God and in our community for the cause of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. I remember getting a phone call when I was the pastor at Faith City, and this family were asking me if I would go by the nursing home and visit their father, that he was in the final stages of life and was about to pass into eternity. And he was a good man, but he just totally resisted Christ all the days of his life. His wife was a Christian, all the kids were Christians, all were serving the Lord in the church, but this old buzzard just would not respond. And he'd be in church, he'd come along to the dedication, to come along to Christmas things, but he would not respond. And so he was about to step into eternity. And so, like, life for a pastor is a very, very busy life. Every man and his dog wants your attention and whatever else. So I get to about 10 o'clock at night and I'm driving home and then, oops, I forgot to visit the man in the nursing home. So I went to the nursing home and banged on the door and got the night nurse to let me in. And I went to the bedside of this fella, and I don't want to ever be as seriously on the way out as he was and not know Jesus. And so he's in that stage where he's breathing every now and again. So I grabbed him by the hand and I said, "This is Pastor Warren. If you recognize me, can you grip my hand?" And he gripped my hand. And I said, "I am here to pray for you because you're about to pass into eternity. Can I pray for you?" He gripped my hand again. I said, "I want to pray with you the sinner's prayer, which is inviting Jesus Christ into your life so that you're ready for the next life. Are you happy if I pray that prayer?" He gripped my hand again. And so I prayed this enthusiastic prayer over this half-dead man. And I said, "At the end of it, did you believe that?" And he gripped my hand. And so I just prayed for him and went home. And next morning, I rang up the nursing home to see whether he'd passed away. He had fully recovered. Fully recovered. He was out of bed having breakfast. And he lived for another 6 weeks, but shouted the praises of God the whole time. So glad to be saved. It wasn't that he didn't want to. It's just he never had a revelation of it. And I tell you, if you're ever going to have a revelation of it, when you're on your deathbed and you haven't, it would be a good time to get one. When I went to the funeral, I did the funeral, and one of his mates from the days of his working life was there as well. And so we got chatting before the funeral service, and this man was a full-on born-again believer. And he said, "I have prayed with that man. I have worked on him like you would not believe and would never come." But it's just good. So I just think if you've got some elderly folks around you, don't just be nice to them. Tell them to get ready for the next one. Just tell them to get ready for what's coming. It's just awesome. And there are 5.1 million of us in Australia, and so many of them need to come home to Jesus. Anyway, that was a distraction, and I'm sorry about that. I would like to talk to you, oh God, with the few minutes I have, I'd like to talk to you about breakthrough and glory. I don't know whether you've heard that, but I just love breakthrough and glory. Hallelujah. I just love it. I just love it. It just does something in me. Hallelujah. I have just had such a revelation that God wants me to be a breakthrough and glory believer. So we're not sitting around wondering what's happening. We're not waiting for something to happen. We're people of breakthrough and glory. We are the people that are setting the pace, making it happen day after day. Is that right? Yes, come on. So I wanted to talk to you about breakthrough and glory, because Pastor Russell, just as we're getting used to breakthrough and glory, he'll come up with another word from God. Now, the deal is that long after we've gone onto that word, God wants you still to be functioning in breakthrough and glory, because it's like the word of the Lord being laid down in stones in your life, so that forever you are totally convinced that you're a man of breakthrough and glory. You're a woman of breakthrough and glory. That you are not intimidated. You are not backing down from things that are against you. You are just absolutely convinced that God has called you to breakthrough and glory. Now, John said, of his fullness have we all received. John said again, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So no doubt at all, God has set you up to live a life of breakthrough and glory. So come on, let's just go through this. And I wanted to read a scripture to you. Would that be okay? And I like the fact that every time we get together on a Sunday, we get to read the scriptures. Just to remind you that you should read the scriptures. Like, God can do a whole lot of things for you. There's one thing he can't do for you. He can't read the scriptures for you. So you need to be someone that meditates upon the word of the Lord. Yes. You need to be someone that is just so hanging on to God and in the scriptures, believing that as you read it, it's going to bring light and life and revelation into your life. So let's go to Mark chapter 5. That was a bit weak too. Mark chapter 5. And here it says in Mark chapter 5, and I haven't got time to go to the background. Let's just get to it. Then they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he often had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked me, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again, "Send them out of the area." And a large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into him." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them what good things the Lord has done for you. And so, folks, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about this story today, just to illustrate how it is that God wants to visit you and do amazing things in your life, not just at conversion, but all the way through your walk with Jesus. I want you to note there that Jesus came to visit this man. He left aside everything that he was doing on the other side of the Lake Galilee. He closed down that ministry, got into the boat, came to the other side, and with great deliberation moved into this area called the tombs, where all the outcasts, all the people that could no longer live in a ordered society, were left to live. And he came into that place, and legion saw him, and Jesus came to reach out to that young man. And I want to tell you, folks, today, no matter who you are, Jesus is on your case, and he's always wanting to visit you. He has got so much love for you. He's got so much planning that he has got for your life. And so you need to be aware today that Jesus is not against you. He is for you, and he is always wanting to walk so close to you. He is always wanting to be so near to you. So come on, let there be in your heart an awareness, a revelation that Jesus is for you. He's not against you, and he is wanting to come and visit with you and do the most amazing things. I thank God for the amount of times Jesus has singled me out and done such amazing things in my life that have set me up. I had Jesus visit me in some ministry over a period of time, and came to a place where he placed a word in my heart that I'm absolutely convinced will be with me till the day I stand face to face. He said, I'll bless everything you put your hand to. And I really do believe that wherever I go, I will be a blessing. That wherever I go, closed doors will open. Wherever I go, there will be an opportunity to do something awesome in the name of Jesus. And you just need to come to a place, folks, in your life where there is an awakening in you, and you understand that Jesus wants to come to you again and again and again. Number two, when this man saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. So with all of his problems, with all the things that were tying him up, this man still had a free will. And when he saw Jesus, there was something that got onto the inside of him, and he did not dawdle down. He ran to Jesus, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. I love that kind of attitude in a human being, where they're not just going to sort of backward and think, oh yeah, maybe, but they have got such a hunger in their heart for an encounter with Jesus, and they will just rush. They'll just rush into his presence so that they can receive what it is that Jesus has got for them. Have you got that heart? Give the altar call. And it's like pulling teeth. But where did that enter into the church? Where did that come from? How did that ever? I think it's probably not you, it's those other people. But it's like a cultural thing in our Aussie society, where we just don't want to break out of our little world, and we just don't want to seem to be sort of being too responsive. But folks, I want to tell you, if you want God and you want to see his miracles and you want to see transformation and you want to see the most amazing things in your life, you're going to have to get hungry for him, and you're going to have to run to Jesus. You're going to have to run to him. You're just going to have to so press into him. I tell you, folks, at my age, I'm still running to Jesus. I still want his grace. I still want his anointing manifested over my life. So he ran to Jesus. One word from Jesus and this man's life was radically changed. When they came out, he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Unbelievable, the transformation in this young man's life. Totally transformed. And I want to tell you that regardless of what's going on in your world or in some other person's in your world, he one touch from Jesus, and everything's different. This man didn't need counseling. I got nothing against counseling. I just want to hold up the importance of a touch with Jesus, the transformation, what it does when God gets hold of your life. I reckon that if I was in high school today, and you wouldn't want to know me when I was in high school, you would have had a lot of trouble with me, Pastor Andy. If I was turning up to your boom program, I was uncontrollable. Do anything for a laugh, to be outrageous. I reckon if I was in high school today, they'd had me on some kind of medication to try and make a zombie out of me, Ritalin or something like that. Just I think they reckon they had ADD, HDD. They reckon I had that before they'd even come up with that. But I want to tell you, one touch from Jesus, and I was sorted. I tell you, it happened. Folks, I can remember when it happened. There was a preacher preaching on Good Friday, and he, I don't know whether he was talking to the hundreds, he certainly was talking to me, and he went through the whole tortured process of what Christ had endured on the cross. It was so, so painful to the Spirit of God working in my heart to see everything that he had done for me. And it wasn't all that emotion. It was more mental than anything. Standing at the back of that room, I made this decision that if the Lord Jesus Christ did all of that for me in order to purchase my salvation, then I will spend the rest of my life serving him and living for his glory. That was over 50 years ago, folks, and I'm sticking by that commitment that I will live my life for the one who died to rescue my life. And so when this man had been set free and he's in his right mind, Jesus gets in the boat and he's going to leave. And this man has this bright idea that he's going to become a disciple of Jesus and get in the boat and go with him. Now that seems like a reasonable thing to do. And so he makes his petition to Jesus. And Jesus said no. It's his first unanswered prayer. He said to this man, I want you to go home to your family. What an amazing word that we see spoken into that man's life. This man who had been so destructive in what had been happening in his life. Imagine how his wife would have been treated. Imagine how the kids would have been so intimidated by this man that couldn't be bound with chains, that was so out of control. And what does Jesus say? I want you to go home to your family and tell them all the good things that God has done for them. I can imagine as he's walking down the streets and people have run ahead to tell the wife and the kids that he's coming home. Imagine the trauma that would have been in there. The past experiences that would have flashed before them as this crazy man is coming back home. But when he comes home, he's like they could never, ever, ever imagine to be. He is so in his right mind. There is grace and love and all of God dripping off this man's life. What a time of restoration it was for that family. And folks, I want to tell you that when God gets hold of your life, I'm just really impressed that you can go and serve the Lord all over the country. But the most important thing that you can do is you need to go home and live for Jesus amongst your own. You need to go home to your community and live for Jesus amongst them. We need to be a transforming influence on those that are closest to us.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.